The conference is now being recorded.
Okay, welcome everybody. Today we have Robin Rosenberg from Florida's Children First and Youth Shine to give us their presentation, Youth in Court. If you have any questions, we'll possibly take questions at the end of the call. So, Robin?
Thank you very much. My name is Robin Rosenberg. I'm the Deputy Director of Florida's Children First. We're a statewide advocacy organization that fights for the legal rights of children who are being served by the state. Most of our work is concentrated on kids in foster care, but not exclusively. We do all kinds of policy advocacy and a lot of training, and we are very pleased to be working with Guardian Ad Litem program today and to have been invited here to share this information with you. Part of the best part of our job at Florida's Children First is working with the young people who are in foster care and who have recently aged out of foster care in a separate organization called Florida Youth Shine. And they are advocates who are trying to make the system of care better for themselves and for their brothers and sisters in care. And they have been working on the issue of youth in court really since the inception of their organization about the importance of kids being in their court proceedings where decisions about their life are being made. And so the presentation today will really be conducted by the panel of Youth Shine members from the Hillsborough chapter that are here with me in Tampa today. But I will tell you that their experiences are not unique to one location. They are speaking and sharing the experiences of their colleagues from around the state of Florida. They've given these presentations many times, most recently at the Dependency Summit in September, which is what prompted the request to come back and do a repeat of that session for you here at the Guardian Ad Litem program. So in addition to the really words of wisdom that you're going to hear from these young people, we've sent you some materials to review. One is a one-pager of their thoughts and experiences with youth in court. The second is the handout that hopefully all of you get and use with young people to help them prepare and understand about going to court based on the change in the rule of juvenile procedure that now requires the judge to inquire if the child is not in their court hearing. And then the third is a piece put together by the American Bar Association to help with the preparation for getting kids to court. Preparation is not really our focus today. It's more about the experiences of young people. And so I'm going to turn it over to them to introduce themselves to you, and then we'll get into some more substantive topics.
All right. So I'm Georgina Rodriguez. I'm 21 years old. I am the legislative chair of Florida Youth Shine. I entered care at the age of 6. I was TPR'd at the age of 12 and aged out at 18. I currently work with within my local child welfare community, and I attend Hillsborough Community College in the area. As far as guardian ad litem, I had a guardian ad litem right before TPR, and I didn't really get to interact much with them. And I saw them at TPR, and I also had a really good one when I started attending court again at the age of 16, who actually stayed with me until I aged out, and it went really well.
Hi, I'm Jasmine Relaford. I'm 18 years old. I came into care at age 7. I was TPR'd at age 13, and I aged out at age 18. I currently go to Freedom High School, and I volunteer with locals for foster care charity events. I had a guardian ad litem for 3 or 4 years, but I only saw her once in those 3 or 4 years, and once before I aged out of foster care. She would actually show up in court as if she knew everything that was going on, from speaking with me for about 5 minutes in the lobby, and I just wish I had more of a support system as far as guardian ad litem went, like the other kids in the homes that I was, you know, that I was placed in.
Hi, my name is Caitlin Golden. I'm 17 years old. I entered care at the age of 16, and I am going to be going home next month approximately, and I am awaiting the results for my GED test. And I volunteer at the Florida Aquarium because I aspire to be a marine biologist. And I got a guardian ad litem appointed to me soon after entering care, and I communicate with her often. We have a good relationship, and she helps a lot with my case, more than like my caseworker would.
Hi, my name is Jessica Overstreet. I'm 18. I was entered foster care at 14. I was TPR'd at 17, and I was adopted at 17. I currently attend Hillsborough Community College. And while I was in foster care, I had the same guardian ad litem for 3 years, but she did not have such a big impact in my case.
All right. Now I want each of you to talk about your time in care and your experience in going to court.
All right. This is Regina again. So as I said, I entered care at the age of 6. It wasn't until the day of my TPR hearing that I actually ever attended court. And up until that time, I lived in some abusive foster homes. I didn't know I had an older brother in, like, California somewhere. I didn't know, the judge didn't know that I didn't want to go back home, that I feared my mother. But however, I had to still keep visiting my mother. So not being able to be able to go to court at the age of 6 and onward really impacted me then. However, at the age of 16, I started going to court when I entered subsidized independent living, and I went every 6 months thereafter. And I was actually able to talk to the judge and say, hey, this is what I'm doing in school, or this is the problems that I'm having in my current placement. So the judge actually connected with me and was able to sit down and you know, and say, hey, okay, what is it that you want to do once you turn 18 and, you know, make decisions appropriately?
Hi, this is Jasmine again. I went to court for the first time when I was 14. Before then, I didn't even know court existed, let alone did I even know I was in foster care, considering I was always in foster homes. I just thought I was just moving from family member to family member. So with being that oblivious, I actually didn't find out what was actually going on in those homes until later on, and I still didn't learn it from court. I learned it from looking in my court records. And it was some pretty just outrageous stuff. Around 16 and 17 is when I actually started attending court regularly because I was placed in group homes, and I had a lot to tell. I had a lot to report to the judge about how things were not going well. So, you know, that helped me out a lot because she was able to sit down and individually speak with me and get my point of view from the situation.
This is Katie, and I have been going to court ever since I entered care, and I didn't know that the judge would ask me what I need in foster care, and I liked that option of being able to tell him what I need and him to individually assess my individual needs. I appreciated that. I actually asked for individual visits with my mother, which my caseworker recommended against, and he asked me what I wanted, and I said that I wanted them. He granted them. I got overnight visits, and it was just a relief to know that I could ask him for things that I need.
Hi, this is Jessica again. Like I said, I entered at 14, and I didn't start going into court until I was 16. I was invited when I was 14 and 15, but at the time I didn't really see the importance of going, so I just chose not to go. But when I started going, I started seeing the importance because I started learning stuff that wasn't being told to me. Like when my guardian ad litem came, she never told me what actually happened in court, so it was nice seeing and hearing what was happening in my case. Also, I wanted to play sports and be in like all the clubs in school, but I lived in a big foster home at the time, so it was harder for the foster parents to get me there. So the guardian ad litem and my judge at the time helped me coordinate how I would get there and be able to do all the stuff that I like to do. And also at 17, I was adopted, and the judge and my guardian helped expedite the process so that way I would be able to be adopted before I turned 18.
Thanks, okay. Now, there are a lot of objections and concerns, and when we talk to people about getting kids to court, there are a series of number of routine objections that we hear back and concerns. You've just heard that kids who don't regularly attend court proceedings don't really know what's happening in their case or in the life behind the life they're living, and the impact that it had on them when they did get to go. But now let's talk about what these objections and concerns are. The first one is the lack of transportation, somebody to transport, or sometimes when kids are very far away from court. Transportation is probably the number one issue and pushback we get on getting kids to court. So, Jasmine.
This is Jasmine again. transportation was a big deal for me because me and my sister were far apart a lot of the times that we had court, which means we lived, you know, probably like an hour away. Our caseworker would not feel like going and taking an hour ride to Dade City to get my sister from school and then coming all the way back to New Tampa to get me and then going to the courthouse. So sometimes we didn't go to court. And I felt that if that was a problem, they shouldn't have placed us so far away from each other to the point where we wouldn't be able to make our court hearings. I also felt that they could have had someone to help them with that if, you know, that was a if transportation was the problem. So that was, you know, some of the issues with getting to court.
Also, I would like to add that if a child is placed too far away or transportation's an issue, people in general maybe can use Skype or telephone or have the, depending on the age of the child, maybe have the child write a letter to the judge or bring them on a different day or set a meeting with just to meet with the judge personally. And so where the child, you know, where it's convenient for those that are transporting the child.
But they seem to get you to the doctor and the therapist and to staffing, so.
Well, and I remember while I was in care, my brother and I lived in two different counties, and I had a caseworker that was actually really good, and he said, hey, you know, I want to pick you guys up from wherever you guys are at and have a visitation with you guys. And I feel now that I'm older that, you know, visitation was important and court should be as important as well.
The second major objection we hear is it's really a problem for kids to miss school.
All right, Jasmine again. This affected me a lot. They felt that because I was such a bright student, I shouldn't be missing school to go to court because it wasn't more important than school. And I, for the life of me, could not understand how my life, you know, how things dealing with my life had to be less important than school. You know, school is important, but Jesus. So when it was kind of brought up in front of my judge, she was actually the one to schedule court hearings around my school day. So basically, if we got out of school at 3 o'clock on Wednesday, we would have a hearing at 3:45 or something like that. So that was helpful when I was able to go to court and actually tell her, but before then it was none of that. It was, you have to go to school, we don't want you to miss school. So that was an obstacle as well.
Anybody else have anything to add? Okay. Another one we hear frequently is, well, there's no reason to take babies or toddlers to court because, you know, they can't talk, so why would you bother to bring them?
Hi, it's Jessica again. I feel it is important to have any age of a child go, whether it's a newborn to 17, because for babies, how are you supposed to know if they're growing or maturing at the right time if you're not seeing them for your right eye? So I think the judge should be able to see, you know, how the kid's growing and the interactions between the caregivers or even the guardians or the care managers, because you can also see if the care, like, if they have a good relationship between the guardian or the care manager, you're going to see that they're actually coming on a regular basis and meeting with the child and being able to see what the child likes and their interests. Other than if they just don't speak to each other, then the judge could see, oh, well, maybe they're not, the care manager or the guardians aren't really coming on a regular basis like they're saying, because they don't really know the child. So I think it's also important for the judges to pay attention to that, just to see if they are healthy and growing and actually having that relationship between the caregivers and the guardian.
And to add to that as well, I feel that having a child or even a teenager in the courtroom right in front of everyone's face can actually put a face to the case. So every day, when people come together in the courtroom, is to make decisions about the child or about the family. Well, why not have someone there? You know, the mother or the parent, foster parent is there. Why not the child? You know, it puts a face to the case, and it makes you, you know, see, hey, this is what I'm making decisions about. This child right here in front of me is who I'm making decisions about.
Okay. And the last major objection we get is court is confusing or boring or it's too long to make somebody wait?
Well, court will be confusing unless you prepare us. Tell us what the purpose of the hearing is. Tell us who will be there. Ask us if there is anything we want to tell the judge or ask if we would like to speak with the judge alone. Some of us don't know these things. It's more difficult for us to fully understand what's going on in court. And if, say, younger children have to wait a long time to get their case called, court can be very boring. Like, just keep them occupied, make sure there's something to keep them busy, and it's best if court is scheduled so that there's not a very long wait for us children.
To kind of add to that, it's confusing. I feel like court is confusing for anyone that does not know what's going on at the time. Court can be confusing for a lawyer if she isn't aware of the case. So explaining things to the children would be better than just keeping them from it. And as far as making it more entertaining for the child, basically putting out some crayons, it's kind of statewide where they have things to accommodate children as they wait, such as coloring books or puzzles or a playroom or, you know, if they're getting hungry, a snack. So I think they should make it, you know, to where it is at least an effort to get the children there and keep them involved in their case.
Okay. And actually, one more topic that I wanted to raise and skipped a little bit, and this is a really important one. Children will hear or see things in court that upset them. A lot of people want to protect kids because bad stuff happens in the courtroom.
All right, so Georgina again. I entered care at the age of 6, and even then I knew why I was in foster care, but I never really heard anything else about it. I didn't get to hear, you know, what was my mom doing to try to get us back, or why couldn't I see my brother on this day, or why is it that I'm in this home? And so had I went to court, I would have been able to know all that. And also it gives the youth a chance to know that they're not being lied to. And so I was, at that young age, I think that's something very important. You know, it opens our eyes. We're living this life. You know, we're in foster care. We were removed. We have trauma from removal or whatever the case may be. So it's important that we get to, you know everything. And then also, if I was one person that wanted to know, you know, how far along my mom was going, I would want to say, hey, my mom's actually trying to get me back. My mom's doing the right things. You know, my mom cares about us, and I think every child should be able to experience that regardless of their age. You know, no one wants to feel unwanted, and so for them being in the courtroom, hearing this, knowing exactly what's going on, it can definitely help them.
Okay. And, like, hi, it's Jessica again. And also with me not going when I was 14 or 15, my guardians will come and my camera age will come and be like, oh, yes, your mom's trying to get you back and stuff. And then when I finally started to go to court, I started seeing that they were pretty much lying to me because the judge would be like, oh, well, your mom isn't taking the necessary steps to get you back, and we're going to start doing this, this, and this to start doing the TPR removal. And I'm like, well, I thought she was trying and stuff. So it's just stuff like that. Like, they're trying to protect the children, but what they're doing is they're just causing more conflict and trauma because that was so hard for me to learn that she's not trying instead of just telling me up front so that way I knew what was happening.
One more thing to add to that as well. Anything I can honestly say, anything that I've ever heard and seen in court has not been no worse than what I've seen and heard in a foster home. So I just felt that it was a lame reason.
Fair enough. Thanks. All right, and so in our last segment, we're going to talk about the benefits of going to court. Some ways that it benefited you to actually be able to go to your court proceedings.
All right, this is Jasmine. One of the benefits was no one could give the judge as clear a picture of what was going on as, you know, me. Basically, I was directly involved. No one could actually go to court and say, hey, you know, judge, blah, blah, this is what's going on in this group home. I don't approve of it, because they weren't going through the situation. it also let me see that people do really care about me. My judge was awesome, and she really did care about my situation. She would have birthday cakes and birthday parties ready, you know, around me and my sister's birthdays, and we would have a birthday party in the courtroom. So it was, you know, it gave me a sense of, you know, here's somebody that's a constant in my life instead of everyone that, you know, I was always being moved around to who really didn't care. So.
Something else that I think would benefit would be also if a youth or a child disagrees with their caseworker or guardian ad litem, the youth can actually be there to express and tell the judge why. I remember when I was younger and I had a part-time job, and I wanted to work 30 hours a week as much as everyone thought I was, you know, it wasn't worth it, and I was still doing well in school. Everyone said, okay, you need to work 15 hours a week. But I was able to tell the judge right then and then, hey, I like, work, you know, saving my money. I wanted to get a car as soon as I turned 18. So I was able to tell the judge right then and then, hey, this is, you know, I disagree with my caseworker, or I disagree with so-and-so. So it kind of helped me as well. Also, being in the courtroom, it takes away the mystery of the things that are happening behind your back. So, like I could have experienced something and I perceived it one way, but everyone else in my case is perceiving it another way, and that's what's going back to the judge. And so at least I would understand why it happened and how it's going about and what's being done to do it, to solve it.
Yeah, another good thing about going to court is it prevents inaccurate information from being given to the judge, such as like kind of like the he said, she said type of thing. And, like, my big thing is, like, with this, is kind of like the runners, how they, like, the runaway people, like, how they're always like, oh, they're just runners, that's how they classify you. But they never really actually ask the kid, why are they running away? So it's like the guardian or whoever goes to court, it's like, oh, well, they're just doing bad in school or they just don't like it, blah, blah, blah. So that's what's going to the judge. But really, if you go there, if the child goes, it could be like they could actually say why they're going or why they're running away if they don't like the foster placement or if something's bothering them that they're just too afraid to tell the foster parent and that's not getting said to the judge. Also, we sometimes have good answers to problems that the adults are trying to solve. So, like, in my case, I wanted to be adopted. But they're like, oh, well, we don't know how to solve the permanency placement or we don't know how to solve this or that. But adoption is one of the main things that solved all the problems. And also with my playing sports and stuff, they were trying to, like, do the Normacy Act in my case, and doing flag football and all this stuff helped it.
And what I feel is helpful is being able to tell the judge what is happening to me. It's because he understands, he'll listen to it, and he'll try to reason with things, try to help the situation if it's bad or if it's good, give me praise, whatever. I just like that he knows what's going on with me specifically, and he remembers me by name. He knows where I'm at. Like, he tries to get really in-depth with my situation. And understanding what is happening in my case is therapeutic to me also. If my mom is taking 9 months to get me back, fine. I would like to know all this. I would like to know how far in her case land she is. I would like to know what I have to do to just keep my case going in a positive way. Like, that's just important to me.
Thanks. And lastly, I would like to add that the youth going to court, it might be their only chance of seeing their siblings or their parents. We often try to do sibling visitations, but sometimes it's not possible. So maybe in the courtroom, that's their only chance. And it gives the child the ability to, like Katie said, to see, you know, is there a parent doing what they're supposed to be doing, you know, and trying to keep the family intact.
Great. We've come to the end of our formal part of the presentation. Is there anything that you all want to add before we go to questions? Audience.
Presentation mode is now disabled.
Okay, so we're ready to take questions.
Hi, this is Claudette Brock in Broward County. I don't have a question, but each of you sound so much like a young lady whom I represented for quite a number of years who was on this panel at one time. I don't know if any of you would know Tammy Workman, but what I want to say to you is that I am so, so sorry that you did not get the right guardian ad litem at the right time, because it could have made all the difference in your world. What I do know is what you learn from being in the system is what your rights are. It takes a while to learn that, but now that you know, now that you have them, don't let them go. I'm proud of each and every one.
Thank you. And of course we know Tammy. She's awesome.
She is mine.
Yes. Good. All right. Do we have any other questions?
Just to adopt by grandmother.
I have a question. This is Wanda Davis from the Sixth Circuit. And I want to know, what suggestions do you, either of you, have for us to improve the court system and how the court is dealing with the presence of teenagers or just children in general in court?
So you're asking how to improve the court system for the youth that are coming to court, correct?
What can players do to improve it, make it better?
Well, first of all, I would say to express how important it is for the youth to be there. So they're not going to want to come if they don't know the importance. You know, some may, a lot of them may actually, but some of those you kind of have to drill them in. You know, what it is that what you're going to court for. Another thing would be make sure that the child or the youth has a time to speak with the judge. Maybe they're shy or don't feel comfortable talking in front of people. Maybe they can talk with the judge by themselves or in their chambers or something. Also, kind of you guys all wrap your arms around the youth. We often say this, don't just do your job, but be the family. So, just to say, hey, hone down on, what the issues are, what it is that you guys can do as different players in the child welfare system to be that child's hero. So
kind of going off of what Georgina was saying, or just telling those youth about how important it is. I believe that if they would have told me earlier on how important it was, I think my time in foster care probably would have been a lot shorter, because then I would have known my mom's not trying to do anything and I could get on with my life. I kept on going with the hopes that she was going to come back and come get me. She lived out of state, so it's hard. I never got to see her, so I never really got to talk to her and find out what she's doing. So when I actually got to find out, I was just like, man, if she's not going to try, then why do I need to keep trying? And that's when I started going towards the adoption process. So I think just telling them that is going to help a lot of the kids getting on.
Another thing, no matter how gruesome you think it may be for the child to hear or try and understand, let them know what is going on and what is being said. I remember the first foster home I was in, my foster parents, they wanted to get more money from the state, how they give you a certain amount of stipends. They wanted to get more money, and if you're a therapeutic child, you get more money. They wanted us to be therapeutic, so they persuaded CPI that we were molested. We were never molested. I can remember back to when I was being breastfed, and I know we were never molested. So, they tried to get us to blame everyone around us, which was my stepdad, my auntie, everyone. And I thought it stopped after a while. After about a year or two, I thought it stopped. I looked in my my court records about a year and a half ago, and I found out that when they stopped blaming everybody else, they started blaming me. And had I known that when I was going into people's homes and they were looking at my court records and seeing that I molested my sister and I was 7, how would I know, what I was, I knew nothing about it. So I felt that if I would have been told that, I could have really stepped up and let somebody know what was actually going on in those homes and how shady they were being. So, just don't hold that information, because in the long run, it only hurts us.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Yeah, thank you so much. Any other questions? I know there's a lot of you out there. There have got to be some more questions.
I don't have a question, but this is Sandra Scudato in Jacksonville, and I just want to thank you ladies for sharing your experiences. If you have any other friends that went through the system, if you can convince them to start working with other children, that would be fabulous. You guys rock.
They do.
I have a question. I have a question about if you
with the transportation issue, if you're far away and you're given the opportunity even to appear in court by phone, would that have been a good option for you? Would you have felt included that way, or would that not be something you'd want to do?
Actually, there was one situation where my caseworker did not want me going to court because she knew I was going to take a lot of things she had been doing towards my case that were negative. She didn't want me appearing in court, and the head of independent living, when my court was actually called, had the judge call me, and I was crying because I was not able to go to court, but I was able to talk to him and tell him what I wanted, and he, of course, asked me what I needed, and I actually expressed to him that I wanted, like, further visits with my mom, and he granted me overnight visits with my mom over the phone, so it is really helpful.
Also, with that, like, as technology builds, the courts need to go with that. The excuses that the kid isn't there, that's why we don't know all this stuff, is not there anymore, because there's so much technology. We have Skype, we have FaceTime with iPhones, and like every or a caseworker I see has an iPhone, so why can't you do the FaceTime? So like they can't use this excuse anymore. As technology is building up, they need to start either upgrading or something, because they're not wanting to. They just keep on trying to use the same excuses from like 1980, and it's not working anymore.
Hi, this is Ann Tomasello from the 15th Circuit. I was just wondering if any of you ever had a bad experience in court, and if so, what could have helped after court, or what would you have liked to have seen be different after court to help you? Were there things that happened that you didn't understand, you know, that you needed to talk to someone after and didn't feel that you had that? Did anything like that ever happen to you?
This is Georgina. I went to court for the first time at 12 during TPR, and that was the first time I ever entered the courtroom. However, when I got in there, my intention was to not testify in front of my mother, but because she did not show up, I had to testify. I was not prepared for that. Also, I didn't wear the right clothing. No one even told me you're supposed to. I had a short sleeve shirt and a short little skirt on, and I had, you know, the way I was sent to court, and I had no idea how I was supposed to address the judge. So to me, that was negative. But that also didn't stop me from going to court at 16, because I mean, I wanted to be there. And then also, I wasn't explained the adoption portion of TPR. I felt like maybe before or after TPR would have been ideal. And then I just left, and you know, I had so many questions, but I didn't know who to ask. No one even said, "Hey, do you have any questions?" So I kind of was just like sad, and that was the end of it. Like I belonged to the state, you know. That's how I felt, because you know, of course it takes, you know, the judgment and stuff later on, but I definitely felt like I was leaving without answers.
So do you feel like the bigger problem was that you weren't prepared before you came to court?
Prepared, yes, but also explained even afterwards, you know, hey, this is what happened today. You know, I was 12, I wasn't 6 at the time, but even then at 12, you should be explained, you know, kind of collect everything of what happened, and this is what's going to happen afterwards, you know, after you leave here, and what are some different options or whatever the case may be.
And to kind of piggyback off of what, not piggyback, but to add to, my mom's rights were terminated while she was in a coma because she did not show up for a visit. She had completed her case plan, and, you know, they're at the final phase of doing the visits after she's completed the case plan. And she didn't show up for, you know, 2 consecutive visits because she was in a coma, but they didn't go back to, you know, give her rights back, finding that information out. So I felt like that was a problem too. I didn't agree with the court on anything for a while after that, because I felt that that was just rude. So we have a question in the room.
I was just wondering, thinking about some of my teenagers that might be aging out, how did you guys get linked up with this organization?
What are you saying?
Mm-hmm.
Well, here there's about 12 chapters statewide, but there's in our area we have a local Hillsborough Youth Empowerment Board, and that's how we're actually a chapter of Florida You Shine. And we all kind of strive for the same thing, but you ask your independent living workers or even your some of the caseworkers may know. Guardian ad litems now, you guys know. Let me see. We actually have I think the what is it? Your right? Did you know? Or your right brochure? And at the bottom of that, it says, you know, hey, if you have more questions or whatever. So I mean, when you start seeing a youth, you know, asking questions and wanting to be involved, you grip them right there and say, hey, I know exactly where you belong. So, and also. Other youth talk, so even before they age out or after they age out, it's all about who you know. Like, everyone knows everyone. It's just about the youth. So they usually talk amongst themselves.
More questions? There are more materials about preparing youth for court and helping them process after court. I know we have training materials. I think there are some materials on the Center for Child Welfare Practice at USF, their website. Some of the youth court trainings have been videotaped and put on there that have a little more of the focus on the kinds of things that you all can do to help prepare kids in advance, support them while they're there, and help them process and deal with the aftermath of it for yourself. And I'm happy to, forward some material to Liz to send out to everyone if you're interested in that.
And I have a question
as well.
Are we?
Go ahead. We're still
17th. My question is, sometimes kids come to court, but in certain sections of the hearing, the child will be excused when you know the parent is going to say something such as, I don't want to try anymore, or something like that. I wanted your opinion regarding that, being excused during the hearing.
I feel like it's better for the child to be there firsthand. How are you going to protect us from something that we've been experiencing before you got a hold of us? I feel like it's better than finding out later on down the road. I just feel like you have to experience some things. You have to let people go through. And if it has to be in the courtroom, you know, then so be it. But y'all don't understand the emotions. It don't leave a question after that. Now I know that my mom said this. It never leaves a question later on down the road when y'all never told us, you know, and we're still thinking that our mom is coming back to get us. Y'all don't understand the questions and the thoughts that run through a child's mind when we are not in the know. And I feel that by trying to protect us, it only hurts us even more emotionally, which leads to all the therapy that we have to go through down the line.
What if the nature of the discussion was explained to you after?
I feel like it's just as much as our business as it is y'all. I feel like we should know the same way that y'all found out, because it pertains to us, not y'all. And no offense to, you know, you guys, but I don't care if you're 3 years old, if you're 27 years old, you are always going to feel some type of way about not knowing. That I can't tell you how many times I sat in my room and just wondered, where is my mama? Because, see, I thought I was going over Auntie Bebe's house. You know, so it doesn't leave me with a question when I actually do know what's going on. It leaves me with some other thoughts, but at least I know what's going on. At least I'm not wondering.
You need to know it firsthand.
Because, therapy gets hectic, trust me.
and also with me, there's only one time throughout all the court dates that my mom actually called in, because she lived in New York, so she had to call in, and they excused me from there. So, I found out last year that during that excuse, that's when she told them that I don't want her back or whatever. But to this day, she has never told me that she said that. So it hurts that they kicked me out of that, because, like, for a couple months then, I just believed that they were lying, that the care managers, like, they just said that so they could just move her out and just kick her out of my life and just get on, so that way they could get me out of the system. But if I would have heard that firsthand or been there in that room, it would have hurt, but then at least then I knew that she's done, and I was there, and I was able to hear that, other than having that in the back of my head, well, maybe they convinced her, or maybe they're lying about her. She didn't say that, so it's just, there's no, I think they need to be in the room just to hear it.
All right, thank you.
I concur.
More questions?
Good session. Thank you very much.
Okay. Good. Well, we're really pleased that we were able to spend the time with you this afternoon. We hope we've given you something to chew on when you go back and do the work with the kids that you're helping. And, you know, it's a struggle and happens in fits and starts. But with the right support, it could really be a huge benefit for the young people. So,
thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for
you're going to do just fine.